They've been adopted.
We were able to discover the remains of two humans.
I would be looking for some more dead bodies.
Welcome to Crime Lapse. I am Eileen.
And I'm Charlie. Edward Morrison said, quote, "If there is true evil in this world, it lies in the heart of mankind," unquote. This is true evil.
On September 13th, 2016, a 911 call was made by a woman claiming to be abducted by a man called Sean Great. For the next 15 minutes, the dispatcher kept the woman on the line as the police officers scrambled to find her. The woman's captor lay sleeping as she desperately tried to find a way out. When police officers arrived, they found the caller, her kidnapper, and two bodies. Caller will be known as Jane Doe. Jane Doe met Sean Gray almost 2 months earlier at the Croc Center in Ashland, Ohio. They had struck up a friendship, going for walks and lunch. Jane Doe was religious. She enjoyed reading the Bible and playing music. She had no romantic interest in Sean Gray, although he had shown an interest in her. Jane Doe was conservative. Premarital relations were not something she would even consider, and she did not allow men into her home. Once when Gray had visited her house, she made them food, and he ate his outside. On the 11th of September 2016, Gray told Jane that his mother had given him a bag of clothes for her, and she agreed to go to where he was staying to collect them. Sean Gray had been squatting at 363 Covert Court, an abandoned house, for about a month. Before that, he had been living in what he described as a fort in the woods. Jane Doe thought she was going to a friend's house for a short visit, but she ended up being a prisoner for the next 2 days. While they were in the house, Jane Doe sat reading the Bible aloud to Great. Suddenly, he ripped it from her hands and told her, quote, "You're not going anywhere," unquote, before physically assaulting her. Jane Doe tried her best to fight back, but Sean Great overpowered her. He then began to choke her until she submitted. Sean Great raped her for the first of many times. Jane Doe said that Sean Gray sexually assaulted her in every way imaginable over the next 2 days. He beat her, drugged her with what he said were muscle relaxers, and tied her up. On the first night, Jane Doe did not dare try and escape because Sean Gray was watching her every move. At two different times he left the house, but he had tied her up so that if she did try and escape, she would strangle herself. He also put duct tape over her mouth. Jane Doe tried her best to sleep as much as possible because every waking moment was filled with abuse, rape, or psychological torture. Early on the morning of September 13th, Jane Doe awoke and subtly freed herself from her restraints. Sean Great was fast asleep in the bed beside her. The room was pitch black, but an alarm on Great's phone kept sounding, so she could hear where it was. She silently reached across to the other side of the bed, careful not to rouse her captor. When her hand made contact with what she thought was the phone, she grabbed it. It was a taser. She reached across again and finally got the phone. At 6:48 a.m. she dialed 911. The dispatcher asked for her location and Jane Doe whispered, quote, "4th Street Laundromat," unquote. She didn't know the address but remembered the laundromat across the street. Jane Doe told the dispatcher that she had been abducted by a man named Sean Great.
What is the address to your emergency?
By the 4th Street Laundromat.
What is it?
4th Street Laundromat.
What's the problem?
I've been abducted.
What's your name? How do you spell your last name? Who abducted you?
Sean Green.
You said John Green?
Sean Great.
Where's he at now?
Asleep.
Where is she sleeping at?
In the bedroom.
In what bedroom?
There's two houses right by the laundry street. And it's in one of those houses.
But you're at the laundromat?
No, I'm in the bedroom with them.
What color is the house? Is it a crop? If I'm looking at the laundromat, which way is it?
To you're looking in the laundry mat, it's the one on the left of the two.
You don't know what color the house is?
No. Please hurry.
Does he have a car?
No. Well, at least it's down the street.
What's your phone number you're calling me from?
I don't know.
Can you think it's a yellow house?
I think so, but it's on the left.
Is it an apartment?
No, it's a house.
Okay, does he own the house?
No, he broke into it.
Does anybody actually live there?
I think they've been abandoned.
And his name is Sean Great?
Yes.
Like G-R-A-T-E?
Yes.
Does he have a weapon?
He's got a taser.
Where do you live? What does he look like? Is he a white male or a black male?
White.
Is he like 6 foot or is he shorter than that?
He's like 6'1", 6'2".
Do you know how much he weighs?
Probably 175.
Are you injured?
A little.
What color is his hair?
Brown.
Do you know what color his eyes are?
No.
What's he wearing?
Nothing right now.
Okay, stay on the phone with me. Stay on the line with me, okay? Is he still sleeping?
Yes.
Where did he take you from?
My apartment. I mean, I was walking with him.
You were walking with him?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you walking to?
His place. I've known him for like a month and a half.
Is there any way you can get out of the building?
I don't know without waking him, and I'm scared.
Is there a bathroom in the house?
Well, his bedroom is closed, and he made it so it would make noise.
And if you told him you had to go to the bathroom, he would do something to you?
Yeah, because he had me tied up.
So are you tied up now?
Well, but I kind of freed myself.
Is he in the same room with you?
Yes.
Is it his phone you have?
Yes. Are they on the way?
Yeah, we have officers we're sending.
Please send enough.
Hey, if you're worried you don't have to talk, you can just set the phone down, okay? I just need to hear if the officers find you or not. Are you upstairs or are you downstairs?
We're downstairs. There's a door. There's a side door on the right of the left house. And that's where we enter. Immediately there's a kitchen right there, and then the bedroom is right off from the kitchen.
Do you need an ambulance? Are you bleeding from anywhere?
Not anymore.
Where were you bleeding from? You don't have to talk if you don't need to, okay? know where he lives? Just set the phone down.
Jane Doe accidentally set off the taser while on the phone to 911. Sean Great woke up. He sat up on the bed while Jane Doe lay motionless beside him. He then lay back down and fell asleep again. Jane Doe picked up the phone and asked how much longer it would be until police arrived. The dispatcher told her that help was on the way, and Jane Doe pleaded with her to send an up.
Are you still there?
How much longer?
What?
How much longer?
Do you hear any officers outside?
No.
Okay, they're in the area.
See if they can come in the side door still, talk to me.
Is there a padlock on the bedroom door, or is it just a regular lock?
No, I don't even know if it's locked.
Can you get up and see if you can get out?
Afraid of waking him. If I knew the cops were right there, I would do it. I don't even know if it opens, how it opens.
Is there a window around there you can look out?
Yeah, but the floor squeaks and it's right by his head.
Are you laying down?
No, I'm standing right by the bedroom door.
And you can't open it?
What?
Can you open it?
I'm afraid without making noise.
Is the door to the house open?
I don't know. Probably, maybe. I don't think he has a key. I'm not sure. Because I think he broke in here.
Can you see out any window that you're at?
They're all, They're all curtained shut.
What's that? That noise?
I don't hear anything.
If you think you can get out, you need to get out.
Not unless they were right here. They would hear me catch me any strong.
On the first floor. Are you at the house closest to the laundromat or the other one? Are you the one closest to the laundromat or the other one?
If you were standing in the laundromat looking out the two houses, it would be on the left.
If you're looking out of the laundromat, so if you're looking at the laundromat, it'd be the one on the right. At the laundromat. If you're looking at the laundromat, it'd be the one on the left.
Side door.
And the side door. The side door to the right.
Okay, I can hear him.
You hear him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, do you think you can get out?
Yeah.
Are you out of the bedroom? The door doesn't have a doorknob? Can you see them? He said push the door. Are they on the other side of the door?
Yeah, I think so.
She said have you guys push the door. There's no doorknob there.
Just push it. don't know.
Can you get out of the bedroom?
And the door is
Can you hear anybody right now?
She heard the side door open. Where'd they go? I'm out of the bedroom.
You're out? Okay, can you get to the door where you can see out? Huh? Can you get out of the house?
It's locked.
It's locked. Are you at the door?
Yeah, I am. She's at the door.
You're on the door to the right-hand side of the house?
Yeah.
She's at the door on the right side of the house. She got out of the bedroom. Is there a window there?
Yeah, I'm looking out. If they come, they'll come back.
She said,
Hurry.
She said to hurry up and come back.
By now, the police were in the area trying to find the right house. After managing to free herself from the bedroom, Jane Doe goes to a window where she can see the police, but they can't see her. Jane Doe begs the dispatcher to tell them to come back.
No, the bedroom door had no door handle. It's locked. You can't get out. Can you unlock the door at all?
Come out. Hurry up. Get out here. Where is it?
No sleeping?
Yeah. Okay, they have her.
He's unarmed.
Unarmed?
Yeah.
All right. You need to go. Hang on. Here he is.
Officer Dorsier was one of the first officers to arrive on scene. In an emotional testimony, he recalled finding Jane Doe.
She was standing in the doorway fully nude. The best way to describe her is complete and utter shock. She couldn't move. She stared straight ahead, and she was just frozen. A face I'll never forget.
Sean Great was fast asleep, completely naked, in a bed in the ground floor of the house. Officers charged in, arrested him, and placed him into a police cruiser. Jane Doe was taken to the hospital, where she was checked and treated for sexual assault. Lisa Riley performed the forensic exam for sexual assault on Jane Doe that day. She said that Jane Doe was terrified and was, quote, rocking back and forth during the exam, unquote. She had sustained multiple injuries to her body, head, and genitals. When the nurse asked Jane Doe if she needed anything after the exam, Jane asked for a razor to remove the heart that Great had shaven into her pubic hair. The police had walked through the house. In the downstairs room where Jane Doe was kept, they saw restraints on the bed and on a chair. They checked the upstairs bedrooms and found no one up there, but evidence that someone had been tied to a sofa bed before. They then checked the basement.
Well, as soon as we opened the door, there was an insect infestation of flies and some other insects down there. And it was a pretty ugly, horrific odor that I've learned over time to what we call a dead body odor.
At the police station, Sean Great was interviewed by Captain David Lay, who was leading the BCI. Captain David Lay had been looking for Jane Doe before learning of her abduction. He wanted to speak to her in relation to the disappearance of an acquaintance of hers, Elizabeth Griffith. When he learned that Jane Doe had been held captive, he immediately worried for Elizabeth Griffith's safety. After briefly speaking with Jane Doe, Captain Lay interviewed Sean Great. During the interview, Sean Great admitted to squatting in the house he was arrested in. He said that he and Jane Doe had planned to get married. He admitted to abducting her, but joked that it was a way to get her to stay with him for a few days. Sean Great said that he had sex with Jane Doe, and quote, "it ended up she didn't like it and was beating herself up about it," unquote. Captain Lay said that it looked as though Great had beaten her up and asked him if he had sex with Jane Doe against her will. When Great responded that he had, Captain Lay asked him what that was called, and Great replied, quote, "rape," unquote. Police Detective Kim Major then took over the interview with Great. She asked Great to be honest and reasoned with him to tell the truth. Great admitted to abducting and raping Jane Doe while he held her captive. He claimed it was because he cared about her. He said he beat her and then put her makeup on to cover the bruises and busted lip. The interview moved on to focus on Elizabeth Griffith, a woman who had gone missing a month earlier. Captain Lay knew that Sean Great knew Elizabeth and was concerned. After denying any involvement in her disappearance several times, Great finally said that Elizabeth had been, quote, "set free," unquote. Detective Major asked him where Elizabeth was and Great answered, quote, "the house where I came from," unquote. Detective Major asked him if there were, quote, "any other girls," unquote, at the house and Great replied, quote, "one in the basement," unquote. He told the detective that her name was Stacy. The crime scene was then secured and a search warrant was obtained. The Ashland Police Department and the BCI began searching the house. In one of the upstairs rooms, they saw the sofa bed. The sheets were stripped and there were restraints tied to the bed. BCI techs photographed the room. The photos tell a horrifying story. A rocking chair, a barbaric homemade sexual device, and a pile of teddies and clothes in front of a closet that had been taped shut. The pile was heavily infested with fly larvae. Inside the closet there were more piles of clothes and more flies. Beneath the clothes, they find the heavily decomposed body of Elizabeth Griffith. In the basement, beneath bags of trash and wrapped in a blanket, is another body. Stacy Stanley. Her skirt is pulled up above her waist, and her underwear had been removed. Before confessing to killing Elizabeth Griffith and Stacy Stanley, Sean Great had asked Detective Major, quote, "how many people before I get the lethal injection," unquote. He wasn't finished confessing.
This morning we began investigating an abduction in which a female was abducted by a male. We were able to recover her from the scene. She is alive. We were also able to take that person into custody and question him. At the residence where this woman was being held, we were able to discover the remains of two humans.
An autopsy was performed on the body found in the closet on the first floor of 363 Covert Court, and it proved that the body belonged to Elizabeth Griffith. She had been choked to death. Great then placed her naked body face first into a closet, with her hands bound and her legs tied up behind her back. The seams of the closet had been sealed with duct tape and there were blankets and soft toys across the bottom. Elizabeth Griffith was a 29-year-old woman from Ashland. She suffered from mental illness and was prone to instances of mania. She was last heard from on August 16, 2016, when she rang her peer-to-peer counsellor, Cindy Swanger. Elizabeth had met Sean at the Croc Centre in Ashland, a recreational centre that offered classes and activities. He had also met Jane Doe here. Jane Doe knew Elizabeth and recalled her being, quote, "sweet but childlike," unquote. She said that Elizabeth would be completely honest about her mental health as soon as she met somebody, which could put her in a vulnerable position and she could be taken advantage of. In an interview with 19 News, Sean Great spoke about killing Elizabeth. He said, quote, "I'm trying to justify it as compassion. The short time I talked to her, she cried several times, just about life and how she couldn't find anyone to love her. She had a mental illness. All I wanted to do was show her that she wanted to live. I'd say, give me a hug, we're all in this together. I'd choke her until she said she wanted to live, and she just didn't," unquote. He strangled Elizabeth and hid her body in a closet in an upstairs bedroom in the abandoned house on August 17, 2016. The body in the basement was identified as Stacey Stanley, who was also known as Stacey Hicks. Stacey had been reported missing a week earlier. She had gotten a flat tire at a nearby petrol station and Sean Great happened to be there. He said that she willingly went to the house with him, and after she maced him, he snapped and strangled her. He even demonstrated to the detectives how he killed her. She was killed on September 9th, 2016.
We have evidence to believe Sean Michael Great kidnapped three women in Ashland County and murdered two of them. Police found two bodies in the house, but the suspect was found. The first deceased victim has been identified as Stacey Hicks, also known as Stacey Stanley. I can now confirm the second deceased victim is Elizabeth Griffith, age 29.
On the day he was arrested for kidnapping Jane Doe, he admitted to killing Elizabeth and Stacey, and he also told detectives about a third body in the neighbouring county of Richland.
In a wooded area behind a burnt-down house in Mansfield, they found the body of Candace Cunningham. Candace was never reported missing. Her family believed she had moved to North Carolina. According to Great, he had been in a relationship with Candace for about 7 months. He said they would argue a lot and she was suicidal. She was killed in June 2016.
Police reopened the case into Rebecca Lacey's death after Gray said that he had killed her. Rebecca Lacey's body was found in a field in Ashland. The original cause of death was listed as a drug overdose, but Great claims to have strangled her after she stole $4 from him. She was killed in March 2015. Sean Great also confessed to having killed a fifth woman over a decade earlier.
Sean Great told the Ashland Police Department that he had killed a female in Marion County. He had lived in a residential area called Grandview Estates, which is probably just less than a mile from where the remains were found. Our investigators went up and they talked with him. He was at the Ashland Police Department. At that time, he said that a young woman, a white female, about 26 years of age, was selling magazines or some type of literature in Marion County, and that he had sold some of these magazines to his mother and did not deliver them. His mother was upset because she did not get the magazines. So a few months later, Great saw this same young woman. He got her into his car by telling her he wanted to buy some magazines. He took her to a residence south of the city of Marion, where he took her into the house. He stabbed her, and then he hid her in the basement for 2 days. Then he took the body out to Victory Road, where he dumped the body. Sometime later, maybe a year or so later, he went out there. He was concerned about any DNA that might have been at the scene. So he set the body on fire. And at this point in time, we do not know who this young lady is. He may have killed her as early as 2003, 4, or 5. So that's 10 years ago, and he can't remember all of the details due to the length of time. He's telling us that this was the first woman that he killed. It's hard for me to believe that, let's just say it was 2004 to pick a date, that he killed this young woman, and now we find, 4 more bodies over in the Ashland-Richland County area, and this would be number 5. It's hard to believe that there aren't others out there. I'm surmising, it's strictly a guess on my part, when you start at 2003-04 and you kill somebody and then you're still doing it in 2016, I'm just saying, my experience, there's got to be something in between there that I would be looking for some more dead bodies.
Skeletal remains were found in a field off of Victory Road in Marion on March 10th, 2007. The female victim was listed as a Jane Doe. Great said he had killed her in 2005. He claimed that she'd been a magazine saleswoman and had tried to scam his mother. He killed her in a basement by stabbing her in the throat. He kept her body in the house for 2 days before dumping the body on Victory Road. A year later, he went back to the site and burned the corpse to try and destroy the evidence. Great said that he believed her name was Dana, but couldn't be sure.
Sean Great was born in Marion on August 8, 1976. His parents divorced 6 years later, and he remained living with his mother. I'm not sure if he had any criminal convictions as a juvenile, but he was arrested for assault aged 18 for attacking his girlfriend. He had children with different women and a string of convictions ranging from burglary to assault. He was convicted of a felony assault using a knife in 1999. He was in and out of jail until January 2003. He was married in 2011 and had a daughter the following year before his wife divorced him and filed for a restraining order. People who knew Gray have called him lazy and said that he often took advantage of those more vulnerable than him. He would often exploit people for financial gain. He had three children between the 90s and 2012. He was violent toward the mother of his children, and all of them sought police assistance at different times. When his second child was born in 1999, he tried to attack his son's mother with a knife. He served time for this and was released in 2003. He again tried to attack her and was sent back to jail for another 7 months. In 2005, he began a new relationship that would last 5 years. It came to an end in June 2010 after Sean Great broke his girlfriend's hand. When the police were notified by the hospital, Great went on the run. He was found days later when his girlfriend told the police she believed he was hiding inside her couch. He was. He was sent back to prison again, but he would send her letters addressed to her cats because there was a protection order in place, meaning he could not contact her.
In October 2016, while awaiting trial, Great wrote a letter explaining why he did it. He rambles on about how he believed the government had already taken the minds of the women because they claimed benefits or government assistance. He said, quote, "They were already dead. Just their bodies were flopping wherever it can flop, but their minds were already dead. The state took their minds once they started receiving their monthly checks," unquote. He was arraigned on murder charges in the Ashland County Court after being indicted on 23 charges, including murder, aggravated murder, rape and kidnapping, for the murders of Stacey Stanley and Elizabeth Griffiths and the kidnap and rape of Jane Doe. Great had initially pleaded not guilty, but was openly speaking to the media about his crimes. The trial began April 23, 2018. The prosecutor, Chris Tunnell, addressed the jury in his opening statement and told them, quote, "This is not a whodunit case. This is a he done it case," unquote. Jane Doe gave her testimony, which you will hear now. Be warned, it is difficult to listen to.
"So when he started pulling the Bible from my hands, I just looked up, like, curious, like, what are you doing? And that's when he said, that's when he says, you're not going anywhere. We started fighting. I tried to push him away and get up. I was just doing everything, trying to kick, punch, but everything I did, he just did it so much harder.
Did he hit you?"
"Yes. His fists."
"Where did he hit you?"
"My head, my face."
"One time, more than one time?"
"Several times, as long as I kept fighting."
"And did you continue to fight?"
"Until he started choking me."
"How was he choking?"
"With both hands around my neck."
"Was he facing you?"
"Uh-huh."
"And what did you do?"
"I stopped."
"Why?"
"Because I knew I couldn't get out of it."
"Did he say anything to you while this was happening?"
"Nope."
suspect know of your name?
I think when I stop struggling and fighting, he asked me if I had enough. And I think I just remained motionless, and so he released his hands.
And then
he started pulling off my clothes.
At some point on the night of the 11th, were you sexually assaulted?
Several times.
How were you assaulted?
In every way imaginable.
To what?
Sometimes to just weird positions. Sometimes just together. One time to the bed.
What happened when you weren't asleep? Were you being assaulted?
Yes. I was talking to this dispatcher for a long time, and she just kept asking me questions, and I accidentally hit the taser, and the crackling is loud, and it woke him up, and he sat up, he put his feet down on the floor, and I was just watching. He's just really groggy, though. He just looked at the floor like he was still asleep or out of it. He just sat like that, it seemed like 30 seconds, and then he laid back down.
What did you think when he
moved? At least the 911. At least they knew my name.
The families of the victims, Stacy and Elizabeth, also testified along with police officers and detectives who had interviewed Great after his arrest. Sean Great changed his plea to guilty for 15 charges on May 2nd and was found guilty on all counts on May 7th. He spoke before he was sentenced.
Well, today's a good day, mainly for all of you guys and myself. You know, I hope we can just move on from all this. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, I can't say I'm normal, but, you know, I know right from wrong. And, mainly, just the, if I cause any hate, bitterness, and then all of any of you, you can work on that. I ask you maybe forgive me. Find in your heart someday. I know not today, but someday. And just move on from this life. And may justice be served today. That's most important. Elizabeth, Stacy, thank you for all your time. This mess, I'm sorry for all human beings to have to hear this. Okay? I'm sorry. Can't change nothing. Believe me, I would. Not for me, but for you guys. Thank you.
He was sentenced to death with the initial execution date set for September 13th, 2018. But that was stayed because he had more trials to face.
On March 1st, 2019, Great pleaded guilty to the murders of Rebecca Lacey and Candace Cunningham in Richland County. Like his other victims, he had strangled them to death. He was charged with 14 counts relating to the murders. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole for the murders and 17 years to life for the other charges. Candace Cunningham's mother said, quote, "Candace was a loving and caring person. She had many more years to live a happy life. We should have had more opportunities to make more memories," unquote. Rebecca Lacey's family did not believe that she was killed by Sean Gray. They believed that she died of a drug overdose and they walked out of the court. Gray had one more trial for the body of the woman found in Marion County. The body was identified in June 2019 through the DNA Doe Project. She was identified as Dana Lowry.
The initial results came back May the 17th. Preliminary results indicated that the victim was very likely Dana Nicole Lowry of Minden, Louisiana. At this time, Major Christie and Utley and I traveled to Minden, Louisiana, and we met with the family. At the time of her disappearance, Dana Lowry was living with her boyfriend and husband. They were not married. They had two daughters, the oldest being 5 at the time of her disappearance, and the youngest age 1 at that time. Boyfriend husband said that she had left him during a time, it was a difficult time in the relationship, their marriage, and that her name was Dana, and that she had been selling magazines door to door. He said she would call home almost every evening. The last time he heard from her was in May of 2006. Put us right in the time frame of the death that we projected. We asked for a DNA sample from the daughter, and she gave us one. We submitted that to BCI last week. They confirmed that our victim is Dana Nicole.
Her remains had been found in 2007. She was 23. She was working as a magazine salesperson after separating from her husband. She had two daughters who were aged just 1 and 5 at the time of her death. She would always call home, but after May 2006, she never called again. On September 11, 2019, Sean Gray pleaded guilty to kidnap, aggravated murder, and gross abuse of a corpse. He was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Sean Gray is currently serving his sentence in prison. He is supposed to be executed, but who knows when that will actually happen, if at all. I believe he should live his life in the most miserable circumstances possible. Death would be too kind. He was an evil predator. He preyed on those most vulnerable, taking what he wanted and disposing of them in the most undignified way. If Jane Doe had not had the courage to try and survive in 2016, she would likely have been his 6th victim. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you've liked what you heard, please leave us a review or some feedback. You can support us by listening to the show, leaving reviews, or join us on Patreon. We'll be back with our next episode in 2 weeks' time.